The mission is simple: to help high achievers naturally eliminate emotional and physical obstacles so they can optimize their life for higher achievement. Welcome. You have just entered the Genesis Zone.
Good day, and welcome to the Genesis Zone show. This is Dr. Brian Brown. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. Today, we're talking about the future of keeping your brain young. You know, it's no surprise that as we age, our brain changes. I mean, sometimes these changes are not exactly what we would like them to be, but they change anyway. So what can we do about it? In today's show, I'm going to discuss some emerging research related to what is coming down the pipeline and what you can currently do about it. Over the past 2.5 decades, I've had the privilege of doing medical work literally all over the world and countries all over the world. It's a privilege that I don't take lightly. I've been able to travel with some really good teams into multiple countries in the continent of Africa, throughout Asia, throughout all of Latin America, and part of the Caribbean. And I've had just a blast doing it. One of the most beautiful countries I've ever visited, and I've been there several times, is Colombia, South America. I have to admit, as one of the world's largest cities, Bogota, which is where we fly into every time we go, boasts of a population of about 10.5 million people. It's a little bit intimidating, if I'm being honest. And if you've never been there, you must always fly in from North America. You almost always fly in at night. It literally sits, Bogota sits in a bowl-like depression high in the mountains, and it's surrounded by mountains on all sides. It's literally, you can fly in the middle of July when it's July in North America, and you fly in up there in the mountains and you need jackets on. It's literally cold. But flying it at night is a beautiful, spectacular scene because all you can see is millions of lights in this bowl-like depression in the mountains that are in a crisscross patterns of the streets throughout the city of Bogota and the surrounding area. It's so crowded there that vehicles with odd number tags drive on certain days, and those with even number tags drive on other days. Those who are fortunate enough and wealthy enough to have two vehicles always have one with an odd number tag and one with an even number tag. Stick with me because I do have a point to this story. You'll see here in just a minute what I'm talking about. Today, we're talking about neural plasticity. When we want to keep our brain young, we have to have the conversation of neural plasticity. Now, you may not be familiar with the term neural plasticity, but it's the key to maintaining a young, healthy brain, no matter what age you are. Now, hang with me to the end, and I'll give you 7 things that you can do right now to increase your brain's neuroplasticity. So what is this term, neuroplasticity? Neuroplasticity is also known as brain plasticity, and it refers to the brain's remarkable ability to change and adapt throughout your life. It involves the formation of new neural connections and the rearrangement of existing neural connections in response to learning, experiences, and circumstances that we go through in our life, as well as environmental stimuli. Now, here's an analogy to help explain neuroplasticity. Imagine that your brain is like a vast network of roads in a city, say like the ones you see when you're flying into Bogota, Colombia in the middle of the night, like the ones I described above. Each road represents a neural pathway in your brain, and cars traveling on these roads symbolize the electrical and chemical signals carrying information throughout your entire body. Now, initially, the city's roads are fixed and they follow a particular pattern. Now, when they're first built, these roads, they're smooth, they're pristine. They don't have any lumps or bumps or potholes in them. And as the roads age, things start to wear down and potholes and cracks begin to appear that need repairing. Yet at the same time, as you learn and experience new things, the city starts to change and adapt to those experiences. So neuroplasticity is like a construction crew continuously working on the roads, building new roads, new pathways, and repairing and modifying existing ones. When you learn something new, for example, it's like opening up a new road, creating a new road in the city. The more you practice and reinforce that knowledge or skill, the more traffic it attracts and the stronger that road becomes, because that road has a lot of traffic. It has to get a lot of attention from the repair crew and the construction crew. Conversely, if you stop using a road, like neglecting a skill or forgetting information, the traffic on that road decreases and it may eventually fade away. Now, figuratively, it's like the road is getting covered with vines and debris. Now, you may think this is a bad thing. This is a bad concept to have roads that become neglected and get old. It's not necessarily a bad thing. This represents the brain's ability to reorganize and prune certain connections that are no longer useful or relevant because more efficient pathways or roads have been built. Now, in this analogy, the brain's ability to exhibit neuroplasticity is akin to a city's infrastructure that construction crew, the city planners, the engineers, constantly evolving to accommodate the new demands that the brain and the environment are placing on it, therefore rerouting traffic and optimizing transportation routes and, transportation flow throughout the neurological system. Just as a city can adapt to changing needs, your brain can reshape its neural networks to adapt to new experiences, learn new skills, and recover from injuries. Overall, neuroplasticity allows the brain to be dynamic and flexible, enabling us to learn, adapt, and grow throughout our entire lives. We used to think this process stopped somewhere in childhood, and now we know that it doesn't. It goes on as long as we continue to stimulate our brains. Our brains continue to grow and evolve. A study recently published in the journal Neuroplasticity compared the effects of psilocybin and a common drug that's on the market. It's an anesthesia drug. It's called ketamine. They compared these two to the chemical DMT that is excreted from the Sonoran desert toad. Believe it or not, it's in the oil on the skin of the Sonoran desert toad, extremely high in DMT. It's used by indigenous peoples for centuries and medicinal and religious ritual uses. Now, DMT has been known to be one of the main active components related to the therapeutic effects of psychedelic medications for decades. We've known this for decades, but a lot of research is being poured into this specific compound right now. And this particular study brings that out. So in this study, researchers found that evidence of neuroplasticity as viewed under an electron microscope, they found that there was a 10 to 15% increase in neuroplastic activity in the nerve construction throughout the brain. And this was similar to psilocybin and similar to ketamine in previous studies that they had done. And the most amazing thing was this happened with one dose, and the effect of that neuroplasticity lasted a month. So this is absolutely amazing information. It's validating what we already know, but now we're isolating that DMT compound and studying the DMT compound itself. So we're beginning to understand where the neuroplastic effect comes from with these psychedelic medications that we're beginning to see therapeutic uses for. Now, you may be thinking, but Dr. Brian, psilocybin isn't even legal in the United States yet for therapeutic use. It's not legal yet. It has been decriminalized in certain states. The state of Oregon has decriminalized it. And then there are other sanctuary cities that have decriminalized it because they see the therapeutic uses for psilocybin and those types of things. So we're starting to see movement in the right direction. Big Pharma has a synthetic psilocybin that's supposed to be coming out on the market in the next few years. They're in final phase clinical trials, but there is movement in that direction. But you're right, psilocybin technically is not legal anywhere in the United States right now. But what can you do about that? Well, there are ketamine clinics in almost every single state across the United States. Most of them are run by anesthesiologists and things like that. I have a friend that works out west. He's an anesthesiologist, and he has a ketamine clinic that he uses to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, severe depression, anxiety, panic attacks, so on and so forth. And they're doing amazing work out there. So there are options available right now when it comes to ketamine and ketamine clinics. So if you're interested in that, you want to know any more information, I'll be glad to share my friend's information who's out west. I have a beautiful clinic, and you can go out there and be treated by them and take a mini vacation and actually have a really, really great experience. So there are options. That's what I want to be clear about. But if you're leery about the whole psychedelic thing to begin with, you're not even sure you even want to do ketamine, even though it is legal, what can you do? Well, there are several activities and lifestyle choices that you can make to help increase your brain's neuroplasticity and promote a more adaptable and flexible brain. Here are some strategies. Lifelong learning, number one. Engage in continuous learning and intellectual stimulation. Challenge your brain with new and complex activities, such as learning a new language, learning to play a musical instrument. If you're already playing a musical instrument, step it up, go get lessons, learn to play more difficult pieces of music, solving puzzles, taking up new hobbies, learning new skills, and encourage the formation of new neural connections. Number two is physical exercise. Regular aerobic exercise has been shown to have positive effects on brain plasticity. It increases blood flow to the brain, promotes the release of growth factors, and improves overall brain function. Aim for at least 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise most days of the week. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, please consult your healthcare professional to make sure that your cardiovascular status is in good enough shape that you can do that. But physical activity, physical exercise, especially aerobic exercise, is critically important. Number three, cognitive training. Engage in brain training activities specifically designed to enhance cognitive abilities, such as memory exercises, attention task, and problem-solving exercises. These activities can help strengthen neural connections and improve cognitive functioning. There are plenty of companies that have popped up in the past few years online that are specifically cognitive training companies, and they're either computer-based or they're app-based on your phone, and they just run your brain through the paces of keeping your brain very exercised. Your brain is a muscle just like your heart, just like your arms and your chest and your legs. It's a muscle that has to be exercised. Number four, novel experiences. Seek out new experiences, new environments. Travel to unfamiliar places and explore different cultures. Try new foods and engage in activities that challenge your comfort zone. Even if you only learn a few words, learn a few communication words when you travel into these areas. I remember the first time that I went to Eastern Africa, and I was traveling in several countries at that time, and Swahili was the primary language. I got a Swahili primer, a book, and I learned some basic languages, like greeting languages. How do you find the bathroom? How do you request food? Those types of things. And it keeps your mind exercising at all time. So seek out those novel experiences, and it will train your brain to form these new and beautiful neural connections. And the number five is social interaction. Please, if you don't do anything else, maintain an active social life and engage in meaningful social interactions, regularly connecting with others, engaging in conversations, and participating in group activities can stimulate the brain's plasticity and improve cognitive functioning. Number six, mindfulness and meditation. If you hung around this show long enough, you know that I am a preacher of mindfulness and meditation. Practicing mindfulness and meditation techniques can help improve attention, focus. They can help with emotional regulation. And these practices have also been associated with positive changes in brain structure and function. In fact, I've done a podcast episode a couple of years ago on the fact that mindfulness and meditation alone can literally reprogram the genes to cut off inflammatory genes. And there's research to prove that. And number seven, finally, healthy lifestyle. Adopting a healthy lifestyle overall can support brain plasticity. This includes getting sufficient sleep, eating a balanced diet, rich in brain healthy nutrients. If you're not a vegetarian, eating a diet high in fish, omega-3 fatty acids. If you are a vegetarian, you can get some of that from flaxseed and those types of things. You can get some of your essential oils that way. But eating diets really high in ocean fish, deep water ocean fish especially, is very, very beneficial. Minimizing stress, avoid smoking, and limiting alcohol consumption also are healthy lifestyle choices to help program more positive neuroplasticity. It's important to note that brain plasticity declines with age, but it doesn't mean that it stops altogether. By incorporating these strategies into our daily life, you can support and enhance your brain's plasticity, promoting lifelong learning, adaptability, and cognitive function. Don't give up on yourself. Never, ever, ever give up on yourself. Keep constantly learning. Keep constantly moving forward. Keep constantly pushing yourself every single day. That's all I've got for today. There are natural ways that you can do these things to check and see where, you know, and improve your neuroplasticity. But from a genetic standpoint, we know that inflammation can bring down neuroplasticity, neuroplastic ability. So the brain's ability to form new pathways is hindered when we either have a high toxic load, we're not detoxifying well, or we have a high inflammatory load. We can look at your genetics and see where you are on both of those things. Additionally, if you're not methylating well, and I'm talking about looking at all five phases of the methylation pathway, not just one phase of the methylation pathway like many of the direct-to-consumer genetic testing companies do. They only look at one phase. But when you look at all five phases of the methylation pathway and you understand what's going on physiologically in your body, if you're not methylating well, you're potentially shutting down over 300 metabolic processes in the body. And many of those are related to neuroplastic activity. We don't want that to happen. So in order to stay on top of those things, we definitely owe it to ourselves to understand the foundation of who we are, and that's our genetics. So if you're curious in any way about that, I've got two ways you can approach this. You can reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn at Dr. Brian G. Brown. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. You can comment below if you're watching online now and not listening to this on podcast. You can comment below this this post where you're seeing this video. Or if you're listening to it on podcast or YouTube, you can also comment below the YouTube video. Or again, just reach out to me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram at Dr. Brian G. Brown. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have about genetics and neuroplasticity and things like that. If you're a self-starter type person and you just want to kind of self-educate yourself about genetics and kind of get a basic understanding of that, I have a free boot camp that you can participate in. Go to drbriangbrown.com/genehack/bootcamp. You see the URL right there on the screen. You can follow that link and find out more information about that boot camp. And if you have any questions about that, again, feel free to reach out to me. That's all I've got for today. This is Dr. Brian Brown. Thank you for taking your time. Most informed, most trusted, and truly a heart filled full of gratitude that you've spent this time with me here today on the Genesis Zone Show. Until next time, stay in the zone. I'm Dr. Brian Brown.